Your Money and Your Life podcasts by Mojas Druitt to help you navigate life's legal and financial challenges.
I am delighted to welcome today Lucy Cottrell, who's an HR consultant with Mojas Druitt and has a huge amount of experience of dealing with HR issues. And one of those things that we're going to be talking about today is something that Lucy's written about recently. And it's about really trying to understand the quiet quitting conundrum. And it's something, it's a phrase that sort of came to the fore, I think it was the back end of last year. Is that right, Lucy?
It is, yes. But I don't think it's a concept that is new. I think it's been around for quite a while, actually.
And so it's been something that we've been suffering from for a while.
I think so. Yes. Probably more so as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And coming out of lockdown and all those big life decisions people made, like the Great Resignation, lots of people deciding that they don't and no longer want to work for an employer, or perhaps don't want to work at all, and deciding that they want to do something else. I think there's that sort of concept, that thought that people have about changing their directions in life.
Yeah.
And I think off the back of that, lots of people are reassessing what they want to do work-wise, and as a result are perhaps looking at their jobs in a slightly different way than they did before.
Yeah, because I was looking at some statistics, which are really quite scary, in as much as on the average UK worker spends 84,000 hours at work. That's a long time to be thinking about what you're doing. And in that same survey, it was done a couple of years back by the Association of Accounting Technicians, of course, because they all crunched the numbers. And they came up with another statistic, which I thought was quite interesting, that on 16 occasions every year, I don't know where they got that one from, but their survey identified from respondents, 16 occasions a year, people think about quitting their job.
I'm not surprised. You know, we do spend a long time at work. I think that statistic you mentioned there will probably frighten a lot of people, because we probably don't think of that often, do we? How much time we actually do spend at work. Because of the impact of the pandemic and the experiences some people had during that time, they're starting to rethink whether the job that they're doing is right for them. And because of that, you may find some employees are withdrawing slightly from what they do.
So we're getting to it now. So that is quiet quitting, withdrawing.
That is quiet quitting, yeah.
Right, okay. So not actually leaving the job.
Not leaving the job, no. No, they're not actually quitting. So the name is slightly wrong in that respect, because the quietly bit is probably the key word in there. So they're withdrawing, they're not engaging as much as perhaps they might have done, which actually can pose a few problems for employers, I think. If you haven't got a work...
How do you spot quiet quitting?
I think some of it might be obvious. So the way that people perhaps may have engaged with things beforehand are no longer doing that. So if they're getting involved in maybe some social activities or getting involved in team meetings, it might be down to the hours that they're spending at work. Are they just doing the hours they're contracted to do? How much are they going above and beyond? Are they making more of a contribution or not? I think that there are telltale signs to somebody who's perhaps quietly quitting.
If previously they've been quite engaged, and if somebody asks them, oh, you know, would you mind staying, you know, just another half an hour just to finish that work? And they'll say no.
Yeah. It could be as clear as that. Yeah. Some may be less obvious, because it might happen over a period of time, I think. So you need to, it's just being aware of how your workforce engages with things that are happening within your organisation. The consequence, I guess, of somebody quietly quitting is about them having less of a contribution to your organisation. And what does that therefore mean to your organisation, to your business?
Productivity.
Yep, exactly.
What about the colleagues?
Absolutely. So if colleague, your teams are probably more likely to feel the effects of somebody quietly quitting.
Yeah.
In the first instance. So they may be taking on more work. They may be noticing that person is more withdrawn and not getting involved in things. And they may start questioning why that person is doing that. And they may feel that they're having to do more as a result. So it's something businesses need to be aware of.
Is it a particular demographic that this impacts, or is it right across the spectrum?
It seems to be the younger generation, if I can say that. It's the people perhaps who are looking at work in a slightly different way. I think for people who have been in work a long time, there's almost a mentality of you make a contribution, positive contribution start to the workforce, to the organisation. But for other generations, it might be, why do I need to do that? What's in it for me? I'm not going to get out of it as much as I put in. So I think the mentality, the attitude to work perhaps has changed slightly going forward. And I also think that previous generations would have been going into jobs for life. That's not the case anymore. Yeah. You're not necessarily going to stay in the same job. You might move around and try different jobs, which might affect how you see work and how your work ethic.
And I can see from personal experience with three children in their 20s, that reflects their approach. And actually, from a personal point of view as a father, I wouldn't necessarily would see that as a negative, because they're actually looking for what makes them. We talked about 84,000 hours, which actually 3,500 days of work. That's a lot. So do you want to be spending that in something you enjoy doing, or do you want to be just dreading every minute, waiting for the clock
to
turn?
Absolutely.
And I think I see a much greater balance, and I suspect those that generation have seen the impact of work on the parents and potential grandparents.
Absolutely. And the consequence of that work, you know, work till you retire, and then what do you do after that? The next generation is looking for work that interests them, that they're passionate about, that they're going to utilize a whole range of skills and perhaps have lots of different careers in their life journey. That's, you know, that's what I think is going to be of interest to them.
On that, reminded me in that same piece of research I referenced, there was a quote that a lot of people think that if they've got to the age of, I don't know, arbitrarily, but it was 47, there was no chance they would be able to retrain and do other things. That's pre-pandemic, that research. Mm. I suspect an awful lot of people have realised, no, actually, we're living longer. I'm still healthy. I'm still fit. I've got quite a lot of other things I could do.
That's right. There's life beyond 47, I hope. Anyway, so there's yes, absolutely. I think there's because of that whole job for life concept disappearing, I think people have more opportunity. And they're not necessarily having to be in employed work either. They could be in self-employed. They could have a whole range of different work, portfolio working. So you look across lots of different job roles and gain experience that way. And they might also be looking at how they balance work with their lives and not looking to work all the hours under the sun. They're trying to balance things and take more time for their own interests and hobbies.
So let's look at a scenario now. Perhaps our listeners are thinking their employers, they've got some concerns about, maybe they haven't picked up some of the signs, maybe they have, but maybe they haven't tackled it as yet, or they've made some approaches that haven't quite resonated or achieved anything. What would be some good advice to help an employer with a situation where they genuinely believe there are one or more members of staff who are quite quitting?
I think the first thing, take a step back and look at what they do to engage people from day one. What induction processes, what expectations are they setting for those people in day one? How can they encourage them to be a bit more engaged in what they are doing? Make them feel valued in the contribution that they provide, and think about how they can sustain that going forward. So how can they ensure that they keep regular engagement with people? Are they checking in with people to see how well they're doing? Are there any concerns? And it might be some employers might be happy to just have an element of their workforce just come in, do the job that they're required to do, and go home.
Yeah.
You don't have to try and fit everybody to be the same, but there might be some things you can do to try and just motivate people to be a bit more engaged in your organization. You might then look at some things around reward and recognition strategies to try and encourage people to make a positive contribution and be incentivized to do that.
I know that through the pandemic, there was quite a lot of focus on mental health and as well. That's going to play a part in some of these sort of fears of burning out, I guess, and that's why some people are shutting down. Is that a thought perhaps for employees?
Yeah, I think that is definitely something to consider. There's a big health and well-being agenda across a lot of businesses at the moment because they're very conscious that, you know, more and more people are being affected by stress and being overburdened, overwhelmed by work. So it's about engaging with those people, get them involved in the types of things that you want to introduce, who I think people may benefit from, to help them become more balanced in their work and their life and avoid that burnout.
Yeah, the old work-life balance that we're all trying to achieve, but
I tried to turn it the other way around. So I think maybe the life-work balance.
Needs to be promoted
more, so we're not
still putting the emphasis on work.
Work is important, but not to the point of burnout.
Thinking as well, and one of the final questions is thinking about if this is a phenomenon that is impacting across the piece at the moment across the UK, and there are some people aware of it or not aware of it, and maybe getting the wrong end of the stick and just thinking people talking about quiet quitting are people who are just leaving without giving too much notice. Is there an opportunity? Because still the after effects of the Great Resignation is being felt, and there are people still looking to employ very lean organizations that perhaps need to be staffing up. Is this an opportunity, do you think, for businesses to perhaps attract people who might be thinking of quite quitting at another company?
Yeah, always an opportunity, I guess, to try and attract people from other organizations. It's about, I guess, selling to those people what it is that you can do, how you work, what your culture is like, to try and entice them away from other employers to your organization, which may be a better fit for them.
Yeah.
May make them more engaged. So I think that the market at the moment, I feel, is still very candidate led. So there's lots of opportunities for employers out there to attract the right candidates for their roles. And it's about selling your benefits, your values, your culture to those people and finding the best fit.
Excellent. Lucy, this has been a very brief run through that conundrum that a lot of people are facing, the quiet quitting trend. Thank you very much. And I'm sure there's a lot more that can be discussed about this. And in the show notes, I'll be leaving details of how people can contact you. MojasDruitt.com, the website. Lucy Cottrell, who's the HR consultant and works in the employment law team, is there to help you as well. Lucy, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, David.
Your Money and Your Life podcast was brought to you courtesy of Mojas Druitt, solicitors and financial planners. Call 0800 533 5349 or visit mojasdruitt.com.